people feel like relationships are hotter these days and dating is hotter these days is a lack of being able to take advice. One, be discerning about it and take it with a grain of salt. But then also number two, take that advice, realize that it's very fucking malleable, and then shift it into a way that actually makes sense and can be implemented for you. Hello, everyone. Welcome back into another episode. I hope that this episode has caught you having a beautiful day. And if it's not, I hope that it brings some lightness and magic into your day. If you hear noises in the background, it's because Jelly keeps bringing me a toy. I don't know why. Today he's like, I'm not sitting with you, Mom. I'm playing with you. Anyway, maybe because it's so cold outside, so they can't go outside. Nonetheless, today we are going to talk about men and women, dating, relationships, discernment, self-regulation, self-safety, kind of just like a whole mix of things. I've been seeing DMs that have been coming through. I obviously watch what's being said on the internet, and your woman has some thoughts today. Oh my God, Jelly, you actually need to stop because you look way too cute. So the first thing that I'm going to say, and it could come to a surprise with some of you, is that when it comes to dating and relationships, it's not always just as easy as masculine and feminine. So even though I talk about masculine, feminine a lot, which is fantastic, I also have the ability to be discerning on when, like, okay, throw that shit out the door. Let's just focus on two humans. Because what I've noticed can happen these days is that people can get really obsessively hooked onto one idea, and it can be at their detriment because it doesn't allow them to navigate just seasons and different moments and different contexts. And I'm going to be frank, that is not a good thing. If you find that you get obsessed onto one topic and you like put everything into a box, you put yourself into a box, you're making everything way simpler than it actually is. Like, things are simple, but also things are so complex. Like, it's not just you're feminine, he's masculine. It's not just black and white. There is so much gray. And if you don't know how to trust yourself to move through those gray areas, not only does that show up in your life with like things not working out or you like sabotaging things or relationships falling apart, it also leads to you not having a sense of self-trust that you are wanting to have. So like when you are navigating your relationship, and I did an amazing episode, I would love for you guys to go back and listen if you haven't already. And it was basically like a real talk of like, this is what it's actually like to be in a relationship. Olivia will link it below in regards to like the episode that I've mentioned. Nonetheless, listen to that episode because I'm sure many of you are like, yeah, agreed, Monica. When you are in a committed relationship and you throw in there like some kids or some work stress or some family drama, you and him are not in this black and white area. It is not just as simple always as masculine and feminine. And if it was that simple, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast episode probably. We are so often in every area of life in a very gray area. And what I say by gray area is that you have to make sure that you take into consideration everything that is affecting the situation in front of you. So let's actually use a completely irrelevant situation to help you to understand this. Jelly, no. I'm very good at making the babe. So let's say, for example, that the situation in front of you is your business isn't making money right now, or it's not making as much money as it once was. And I'm going to give you guys a relationship example too, but I want to give you two different ones. It's not just as simple as like, oh, it's this problem or this problem. It's not just as simple. It's not a black and white answer. So what I mean by that is that there is not one answer that is going to solve the problem for five people that come to me and say, my business isn't making any money right now. And the reason why there isn't one answer for all of them is because what I do and what I'm saying you guys need to do for yourself is you need to take into account what's happening in their relationship, what's happening in their health, what's their sleeping patterns like, what's their environment like, what's their mindset like right now, what is their energy level, is it winter, is it summer, like what time of year is it, what's happening with their mom, what's happening with their dad, is there any, like there is so many factors in our life that influence our behavior, the way that we respond to things, and what's showing up in our life. So in your relationship, if you're going through something challenging, or in your dating life, if you're finding that you're a little bit more highly strung right now, it may not just be because you need to like shove yourself in a box or just be more feminine. That might not actually solve the problem. And you forcing yourself into another box is actually just making you more stressed out. What could actually solve the problem is looking at all the different things in your life that are influencing the way that you're feeling, or looking at all the different areas of your life that are influencing the way that you and your partner show up in the relationship, and taking those things into consideration when you are implementing advice. When you are implementing advice. So this comes with a piece of what I was saying about discernment. And I truly know that one of the things that is making people feel like relationships are harder these days and dating is harder these days is a lack of being able to take advice. One, be discerning about it and take it with a grain of salt. But then also number two, take that advice, realize that it's very fucking malleable, and then shift it into a way that actually makes sense and can be implemented for you. Because advice is not black and white. It is not the same thing for every single person. And that's why I'm always saying to you guys, add context. I'm like a broken fucking record, but I'm saying it because I want you to understand that whilst I try and give you so much context in all of my content, what is Jelly doing? If you're watching the video, he's literally at the microphone. He's like, I have something to say. Even though I try and give you guys so much context, there are a million different people listening to this podcast episode, and therefore there's a million different ways that advice could be implemented. And I notice this even because sometimes I'll have conversations with some of you and you'll share with me your situation or whatnot, and I will actually be more discerning for you, which I'm so happy to do. And I will always do that for you guys, where I'm like, you know what, actually don't join this Round of Queen Alchemy, or actually don't do this program. Like, instead, just pause for a few months. I want you to listen to these episodes. I want you to do these things, blah, 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 and then come back in 3 months' time. And why I do that is because my intention always is for you guys to feel like you can trust yourself, not that you outsource your level of self-trust to somebody else. So if you're wanting to improve your relationship or your dating experience, but you become reliant on the sole advice of what you should do from somebody else, what you're doing is you're outsourcing your power to that other person rather than actually learning to reconnect with your internal power. So you already internally have a sense of self, have a sense of power, have a sense of discernment. You've just lost what it feels like. You just don't remember what it feels like anymore. You've lost that connection and that practice to actually tapping into it. So my intention is, instead of thinking that you need to like be reliant on me for the rest of my life, I always say that my job is to make myself redundant, because then I know that I've done a good job. I eventually want you to say to me, Monica, I don't need you anymore. I'm like, sweet. Perfect. Like, go on, live your life. Because if you become reliant on me, then I haven't helped you to instill self-trust and self-discernment. And you haven't integrated and gotten to a point of embodiment where you are able to just go live your life without overthinking. You start to analyze everything. And actually, one of the things I wrote down for today's episode is I'm noticing that a lot of people are going into overthinking and like hyper-analyzing everything in regards to dating, the person that they're seeing, the person they're in a relationship with. And it all comes down to like, they literally don't trust what their intuition is telling them. They're either thinking, oh, I'm with a narcissist because one time he was like, that's silly to feel that way. That doesn't make him a narcissist, right? If your husband, your boyfriend, your fiance, your girlfriend, whatever, sometimes by accident in the heat of the moment, because they're distressed and you're distressed, like accidentally gaslights you or accidentally says something mean or invalidates you, they're not just a narcissist. They're not a manipulator or like you, when you put labels on people, what you also do is you limit yourself. You limit the expansion that is possible in that dating experience or in that relationship with that person because you put them in a fucking box. And you're probably putting yourself in a box in your own life, in whatever area of your life. So when you put somebody else in a box, you limit their capacity in your mind to change. And people can change. And people say people don't change. I'm like, that is actually bullshit. People won't necessarily change their values. They're pretty ingrained. They can, 100%, right? There is definitely room for people to change their values. Don't rely on it. If you're dating and you're relying on him to change your his values, like, don't rely on it. People can change their values 100% because sometimes you don't know you value something until you experience it. But people do change. People can change their behavior. They can change the way they respond to situations. And you know how you know that? Because you've changed. I can guarantee, depending how long you've listened to my podcast, and maybe you're a client of mine as well, or you have been, even just my podcast has allowed you to change in different areas of your life. So the idea that your partner or the man that you're dating or the woman that you're dating has no room for change and that you should just put them in a box and slap a label on them, you're losing. If you do that, you're also losing as well as losing them. So when, and I know I've mentioned this to you guys before, but it's so important when you're absorbing this information online these days, get context or have the discernment to put it in your own context. It's like what I was saying to you guys in an episode, whether it was last week or I think it was like 2 weeks ago, about how I saw this Instagram reel and this girl was like, feminine men are like a toxic or so, like they're toxic narcissists or whatever it is that she was saying. And I was like, what the actual fuck? Like, where is she pulling this from? Probably her own experience. And she's completely lacked the ability to filter that out, like to filter out the fact that that is her experience, that is her perception, but it's not actually an actual truth. So you've got to be aware that if someone's just pulling like their truths and making it a truth, like you need to believe it as well. That's where you have to step into discernment. Maybe their truth feels really aligned for you and you're like, you know what? I totally want to take that truth on board. Sweet. But if you're not able to just have that moment where you can filter something through yourself to check that it feels good in your body, you are then not connecting to your own internal judgment. And if you continue to not connect to your own internal judgment and your body and your sense of safety and your sense of self-trust, then what happens is 5 years down the track, you're like, wait, what have I done for the last 5 years? What relationship am I in? How have I been dating? And you then start to go into, I fucked myself over. Because in all of those little moments, you have an opportunity to sink deeper into yourself or to abandon yourself. So when you're having a fight with your fiance, I'm just using fiance today, whatever, I don't know why I keep saying fiance. When you're having a fight with your fiance, you have the opportunity to disassociate, to avoid, to slap a label on whatever it is, or you have the chance to sink deeper into yourself, self-regulation, self-trust, expansion, whatever, and grow from that situation if you know how to fight well. If you don't know how to fight well and you just take what Lindsay, whatever her last name is, I'm just like making up a fucking name. I'm like, you know what I just thought of? I thought of, what's that Australian cereal? And it's so bad for you, Nutri-Grain. I literally just randomly thought of Nutri-Grain. So when Lindsay Nutri-Grain randomly says to you, if he says blah, you have to leave him. And now you've taken that and you're like, okay, I'm going to do that. Now in the moment where you're having a fight with your fiance and he's like, he said it. Oh my God. And then you decide that you're leaving him. And there's been no weeks or months of internal checking, of thought, of like discernment, of any of that. There's been none of that. No internal work being done. Then 5 years on, and you're just kind of living in this autopilot of trusting everybody else but yourself, in all of those moments where you've trusted somebody else but not yourself, and you have reacted, it's been like a reactionary response, right? Because you are taking one piece of advice as like the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. Instead of realizing that one piece of advice needs to kind of filter through, and it's very dependent on the situation. So in those moments where you just trust what Lindsay Nutrien said, for example, you self-abandon. I cannot tell you how many times, or how easy it is, I should say, to abandon yourself. You abandon yourself when you don't practice discernment, when you don't share a boundary, when you don't explain your needs to somebody, when you don't trust yourself, you go into a self-abandonment cycle. So the self-abandonment cycle is where in a moment, like in that particular moment, let's just say, you have an internal cue, you have a visceral reaction, you have a thought, you have a feeling, and you basically say no to that thing. Like, no, like it's wrong. So you abandon what your body is telling you, what you are needing, what you're craving, the boundary that you want to put down, you abandon that. Then as a result of abandoning it, you then start to go into this abandonment cycle where essentially you will continue to abandon yourself because you have now normalized it to your nervous system. Now, maybe in abandoning yourself, you now got love from the other person or perceived love, right? It's not been unconditional, obviously. It's been more conditional love, probably. You now got love from the other person because you haven't pissed them off by putting your foot down, for example. So now because you got love from the other person, you're then teaching your nervous system and your body, okay, so just like shut me up and then I get love, especially if you've grown up in a family where maybe this was your whole life. Maybe your whole life has been self-abandonment because the only way to actually feel love and intimacy and touch and to be held is to self-abandon. And so to your nervous system, that is normal, or you teach it to be normal when you step into adulthood because no one has told you how to navigate challenging moments in relationships. Navigating challenging moments in relationships and in dating is not something that we're taught in school or really even by our parents. And I know there are so many of us that are wanting to break generational cycles of trauma so that our children don't just continue with what we are doing so that our children do not carry on the trauma that we had to endure from our parents. So you are the one, and hopefully your partner too, you are the one breaking the generational trauma. The beautiful thing is in a relationship or in a dating experience, you really only need one person. It's super ideal, obviously, if the other person is also doing work on themselves. But as I go into an embodiment of dating number two, you don't need the other person to be like super self-aware and woo-woo and like, oh, nervous system regulation in order for you to shift the way that the relationship operates so that it can become healthier and so that you can co-create your dream relationship. Because in every moment, in every choice, in every second of the day, you are choosing to either co-create the life of your dreams by not self-abandoning, by practicing discernment, by saying no, by wearing the nice outfit instead of just throwing on your trackies for another day. In all those little choices, you are co-creating your dream life. And in every little choice with your partner, you are co-creating your dream relationship as well. And so what I was saying before is like you both don't need to be super aware of this work because you, and often the woman does kind of lead this a little bit because we are just more into personal development, which is so fine. We'd love the men to get on board, but it's okay. Like, trust me, ladies. And you can trust me in that because I don't have a man that is super like into the woo, knows what nervous system regulation is. I introduced that to him. He didn't know that. And so if I'm able to, you know, help him bit by bit and to disarm him, like we talk about in embodiment dating number two, then you are also able to. If you came to my LA event and you were part of the, like you would have watched the Q&A that we did and somebody asked like, who's better at confrontational situations? And he was like, she is. And it was awesome to just like hear him talk about it. But what he said that was really beautiful is that I have helped him to be better in those confrontational situations. And it's not that he's like done a session with me or anything like that. It's simply by the way that I have shown up that has allowed him to show up differently. So you really only need one person, which is you, to help start to co-create the relationship of your dreams, where instead of choosing the cycles of self-abandonment, instead of gaslighting, instead of going into avoidance when you're in an argument or into a state of of anxiety and then blowing the whole fucking thing up and saying mean things, you're actually going into a state of how can I co-create, because there's two people doing it, how can I co-create the relationship of my dreams? So in this episode, I also want to remind you guys a little bit of the difference between men and women, because this is super important when it comes to dating and relationships. So if you haven't listened to the other episodes about relationships, sex, emasculation, the podcast directory is below, and I would highly recommend that you take some time to go through old episodes. I'm well aware that in my old episodes, I sound so much more Australian than I do now. I listen to them, like I'll flick them on sometimes just to like see how much my accent's changed. And I'm like, oh my God, that is piercing my ear. I'm not used to it anymore because I hang around Americans all the time. But then when I'm back in Australia, I'm like, oh God, we do sound a little bit like bogans. But what's funny is that everybody says they love an Australian accent, and still people are like, I love your accent. I'm like, it's not even that Australian as it used to be. But I feel like every Australian to another Australian is like, no, we sound like bogans. But the rest of the world apparently loves our accents. So hopefully you guys don't have an ear piercing situation when listening to old episodes like I do. But anyway, there's a ton of old ones that you can listen to. So let's talk about our brains for a second. So our primal brains are the part of us that is just worried about fucking, food, fighting, and fleeing, right? That is the primal part of our brain. So that is why our primal brains are constantly thinking and taking into consideration our safety, are our needs being met, it like food, and they're going into that fight or flight response when there is a confrontational situation, etc. Our hearts are taking into consideration compassion and love and warmth and tenderness and patience and trust, especially when it comes to dating and relationships. So when you're on a first date, if your primal brain is going because you're super stressed out, you're going to be having a little bit of a different experience than if you're super calm and regulated on a first date. And this doesn't mean that, like, you know, this doesn't mean anything besides the fact of just be aware of it. Just be aware of how you've shown up on a first date. Have you shown up super fucking stressed out? Is your heart racing? Are your armpits sweating? Because you're going to be having a different experience than if you were showing up really calm. Now, some people will say, oh, well, if that's how you're feeling, then it's a trauma bond and you need to run the other direction because he didn't make you feel safe. Yeah, that definitely could be it. But it also could be it because you've had a really rough day at work. You're nervous. You aren't super great at meeting new people and talking to new people. You're afraid of getting hurt. You're like, holy shit, he's really fucking hot. Like, I don't want to be hurt. I don't want him to reject me. There can be other things that are not about, oh, a man is toxic. It's not always men, ladies. Sometimes we are the problem. Sometimes it's your trauma. Sometimes it's your perception of things, right? So I would love to encourage you this year to not jump to he is XYZ because you don't even fucking know the guy, but rather maybe it's you. Maybe you weren't showing up in the best way that you could. And so, okay, maybe you have a second date, or maybe you don't. Maybe you knew like it was a fuck no, our values are not aligned. Cool beans. Bottom line is that when you're making choices from your primal brain, you're often trying to get, and this is really, this is key in dating, but also in relationships, just in different ways. So I'll give you guys examples. So when you're trying to make, start the sentence again. When you are trying to make choices from your primal brain, you're often trying to get relief from some kind of tension or issue that you currently have that you're feeling, and your primal brain is trying to get a solution to it so that you can experience the relief that you're craving. You don't know how else to deal with the issue besides to go after the thing that is going to give your body a feeling of relief so that you can release the tension. So for example, just boarding flight to Atlanta now. Okay, sorry, my friends from Australia, speaking of bogans, is arriving tonight. So for example, let's say that he hasn't texted you in a day. You feel tense. You are stressed out. Your mind is racing. You're checking your phone every 5 seconds. We've all been there, including myself. It is not a vibe. Don't love being in that place. It's really fucking great when you have done the embodiment of dating masterclass and you know how to be that queen embodiment in dating. So you are not checking your phone 300 times a day and your productivity going down the drain for 3 weeks whilst you're dating this guy. Okay, back to my point. So maybe, for example, from this perspective of, you know, ladies, he hasn't texted you in a day or 2 days and you have all this tension in your body, you might try to get a sense of relief from that tension by possibly going into avoidant attachment style, being like, fuck this, I'm out, this guy's a dick, and like blocking him, deleting his number, I'm never seeing him again. So kind of going to the super reactive end of the spectrum, like, whoa, kind of response from a place of self-protection, because you are literally going to do anything to get a sense of relief. And he's not giving it to you, and you don't know how to give it to yourself. So the only thing that you know how to do is to then just catapult yourself into a super avoidant attachment style. Or you might text him 300 times. Maybe you make up some kind of excuse of why you need to text him. Maybe you start checking all of his Instagram stories. Maybe you're thinking, oh my God, is he dead? And like, that's your rationale of like, oh, he might be dead, so I should text him to like make sure he's okay. Bitch, you've gone on one date. Even if he is dead, he's not going to tell you about it. Like, his mom doesn't know that you exist. Well, maybe she does, because after one date, my fiance told his mom about me. But my point is if it was that guy where after the one date, his mom knew about you, he'd be texting you the next day, right? So often we just don't allow ourselves to see the reality of the situation in front of us. But more importantly, we don't know how to regulate ourselves in these situations. So here's the thing, again, add fucking context, be discerning. I could say, well, this guy doesn't like you. Yeah, maybe he doesn't like you, but there are also other factors that I would need to be sharing with you that would influence me to then be able to come to the conclusion of he doesn't like you enough, right? And I go into that in embodiment of dating number two. The other thing could be that he's actually really fucking busy, and so he hasn't been able to text you. Now, some women will say, no, you know, that's just always an excuse. Even if a man's busy, he still has time to text you. Yes, that is true for some men. And what's his job? How busy is he actually? Men don't get the safety off connection that we do. So he's thinking about you. And so that's enough for him, right? He's like, yeah, I really like, he doesn't know anything's wrong. He has no idea anything is wrong. And so he doesn't think that you need a text, especially if he doesn't understand what makes a woman feel safe and what a woman needs. Like, bitch, he's oblivious to the fact that you need a text. And he's like, I've met this great woman, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's having a great time, but he's also really stressed with work. But he's like, I can't wait to text her in a few days once I have the space to converse with her, because men need space to actually have a conversation. Men are single focused beings. They're only focused on one thing at a time. So if he's focused on work, he is not focused on you. And that can be hard for us to understand, but it's also really freeing to understand the opposite sex. I will hands down say one of the best things that you can do in your relationship is to understand the opposite sex. I really mean that. And that's why I created Be a Lover, Not a Mother. But understand, and men can do that as well. They just basically learned about themselves, but that inadvertently also teaches you about women, because I talk about what women want and then what men want in that. I'm talking to women, but I've had plenty of men that have done it with their women and they're like, holy shit. Bottom line is you're trying to get some kind of relief in your body to free yourself of that tension, because your primal brain is going fucking wild because you are afraid of rejection. Now, that's not coming from your heart. That's not coming from this grounded part of yourself that is regulated, that feels a deep sense of internal safety, that is able to be discerning in different situations, is able to protect her energy. She's able to keep her energy in her own body. No, this response of the tension isn't coming from that place. This response of the tension is because your body is eliciting this kind of like life or death. I need to know that I am chosen. I need to know that I'm rejected. And until that is received, the tension isn't going to fade unless you decide you don't want him anymore. Now, what I will say is, to add some depth to this, is that as always, the person that you're dating, oh, did you hear that? Sorry, I just took a massive sip of water. As always, the person that you're dating or in a relationship with, they can influence your attachment style and the way that you respond to situations. They obviously can make you feel unsafe. They can make you feel safe. They can make you feel secure, insecure, wanted. Like, of course, those things very, very much exist. You know, you could be someone that normally has a very secure attachment style, but somebody's behavior is now making you really drop into like a super anxious or avoidant attachment style or disorganized, whatever it is. And maybe that's something that you need to address. Maybe that is. Or maybe that's them, right? Again, so this context is so important. This is why I made Embodiment of Dating number 2, because Be a Lover, Not a Mother is very much understanding men, knowing the difference between men and women, not emasculating men anymore. That's what it's about. Embodiment of Dating number 2 is about relationships. It's about the hard stuff in relationships and dating as well. It's about the things that you need to know, but they need so much context. Like, these things are not black and white. How to fight well is not black and white. You know, how to put your foot down to him is not black and white. You know, how to heal an anxious attachment style or an avoidant attachment style, it's not black and white. These things are so fucking gray. And so, of course, I made a whole new program so I could add tons of context for you guys. And this program is like semi-live, semi-recorded. So we have, so for this round that is open right now, we have 2 live Q&As, and that then allows you to watch all the modules first, because then we have the Q&As later. So once you've watched all the modules, you can then check with me if you need me to clarify anything to make sure that you have implemented something in the right way, depending on your context. Like I was saying at the beginning of this podcast, is that I really make sure, and this goes for all of my programs and also the Feminine CEO, a lot in the Feminine CEO, because business is so not black and white, and I'm leading you to be able to be your best leader and guide for yourself and your business, is in all the modules, I'm really helping you to come back to your own self-trust and be able to tap into realizing the nuances that exist within your relationship and within your life. And so, you know, using one of my tools or strategies, you might use it one way this time, but a little bit of a different way next time. But you've developed that self-trust and you're able to make those tools malleable as they're needed in different situations. So if you are dating and you feel like you need more support in dating, healing your anxious or avoidant attachment style, or if you're in a relationship, whether this relationship has been here for 6 months or 10 years, and you need some fucking help in that regards, look at the modules. As always, look at the module outline, because that's going to give you the best indicator of like, will I get stuff out of this program or not? And of course, you guys can email me as well. But I'm really excited to be able to bring this. This is the second round, so it's still quite new, but the last round was amazing. And I've added 8 new modules for you guys. So we have 8 new modules, plus we have the 2 Q&As as well. So tons of depth in regards to co-creating a relationship that is healthy, that is supportive, and that is dreamy as fuck, even in those challenging moments. It's not some like high vibe, cute, like fluffy relationship program. There's no journaling or anything like that. I know you guys love that. None of that. It is depth. It is broad. It is deep. It is specific as well. And it is what I do. It is literally what I do when I need to use it, and how I show up in my relationship. Obviously, this is separate to like the understanding of men. That's still really important, but just like a bit of a different topic. So something that I was sharing with you guys before a little bit, I kind of dropped the seed and I want to circle back to it, was overthinking. So you might identify as a little bit of an overcommunicator, where you aren't able to just like put things to bed. You aren't able to realize that, you know what, sometimes you aren't going to see eye to eye. Sometimes it's going to be that you're like, it's a woman versus man thing. Like, you guys will never get on the same page about some things. And that doesn't make you bad. That doesn't make you like unhealthy. That doesn't make you anything other than two people trying to cohabitate and have a relationship with a completely different history. What I want you guys to understand before we wrap up is that you and your siblings have literally been parented differently. Your parents were in a different place in their life, a different financial position, a different emotional position. You know, if you're the eldest, for example, the way that they parented the third child from you, so like let's say you're one of 3 like I am, the way that they parented the youngest is completely different to the way they parented you, because they were first time parents with you. So the way that the difference between you and your siblings in regards to how you remember, perceive the wounding from a childhood, etc., is mind blowing, because you are all in the same family dynamic. You're in the same family energetics, and you have the same parents for the most part. Obviously not everybody, but for the most part, you have the same parents. So even if you and your partner are very, very similar and you've come from very similar upbringings, like I would say that me and my fiance have come from quote unquote similar upbringings. We are such different people. And you know what? Our parents are actually really similar too. Doesn't matter. We are such different people because what you need to take into account is the fact that if you and your siblings are different, if you have different wounds, if you respond to different situations, if your nervous systems are different, which they are, just imagine a man and a woman, right? This is obviously for the most part, if you are in a homosexual situation, then you've got the hormones on your side and that you guys have the same brain and the same hormones. So that's awesome for you, but you still have what I'm about to share that's different. And that is your nervous systems are different. The way that you respond to information is different. The way that you interpret things, your outlook on the world, your beliefs, the way that you respond and react. Are you defensive? Are you able to hold yourself? Are you a people pleaser, but the other person isn't? Like, there are so many things in regards to trauma and wounding and your belief system that are wildly different. And that means that there are going to be times when you're having an argument where you're just not going to see eye to eye. And so in the embodiment of dating, I really walk you guys through how to actually fight well and how to hold yourself in that queen-like energy without going into the self-abandonment cycle, without losing yourself in the relationship, without also though like disregarding the other person's very real experience, because their experience is just as real as your experience as well. But when you have a history of, or when you right now are a chronic overthinker, it is generally speaking because you are trying to, it's a trauma response. So you are basically trying to think of every possible situation that you could get hurt by. So you're overthinking, right? You're thinking about every possible situation, all the ways that he could hurt you, that he could betray you, that he could be lying to you, whatever it is, because you are trying to find, and you've learned this as a child, you are trying to find the areas that you could get hurt so that you can basically preempt them to prevent them from happening. So if you grew up in a childhood, for example, where your mom or your dad or both were very erratic and you've become a chronic overthinker, it could be, for example, I'm just doing one example. It could be, for example, that you learned to overthink and to overanalyze so that you could find any possible situation in the day, in what's happening in the day, in the house, anything, in the way that you're thinking or speaking to them or the way that they're thinking or speaking to you, that could cause them to get explosive because you are trying to prevent that from happening. So if you find the thing that could make mom or dad go explosive and then fix it, then you're in your brain, you're like, well, then they won't go explosive. So then what happens is you carry that through your whole life. So chronic overthinking, I'm not talking about like you have a moment of just overthinking sometimes, like welcome to life and welcome to being a woman sometimes, right? I'm not talking about those moments. I'm talking about where you find yourself over and over and over again being in this, like being stuck. It's very much being stuck in this state of overthinking. And it's a trauma response. So it's not about then, you know, learning how to not overthink. It's actually about healing the trauma that is causing the symptom or that's causing the, yeah, I guess the word symptom, it's causing the symptom of the overthinking, but it could also be also, it could also lead to overreacting, of course. So with the overreacting, this can obviously heavily influence the success of having a healthy relationship because of your part to play in it. But it also can heavily influence your ability to have an enjoyable dating experience because you are overthinking and overanalyzing every little situation that doesn't need to be overanalyzed, especially if you're dating men, because men aren't like looking at every tiny fucking detail. Men are single focused, right? They are direction orientated and they don't generally, is obviously general, you know, there's going to be some men out there that see the details, but for the most part, the men aren't seeing these tiny details. They're not fixated on them. Now, of course, some men can be because of their trauma and whatnot. But like, I think I've given you guys this example before of like, men don't see cellulite. I actually said to my fiance the other day, I don't know how it came up in conversation. And he was like, you don't have any cellulite. And I was like, thank you for saying that, babe. And he was like, you don't. And I was like, I actually do, but I love that you've told I love that you've told me that. And I learned this years ago from one of my exes that I brought up before. And he taught me this, that, and you know, it's very true that men don't see those little things because they're just focused on, holy shit, I'm having sex, a woman's naked in front of me. Whereas we're overanalyzing as a safe, as a protective mechanism to make sure that everything's perfect so that he chooses us because we need to be provided and protected by him. So it's a whole different internal process happening for us, which is why it is so important to understand the opposite sex. And it is so important to understand how to be in a healthy relationship with a man because things are not simple all the time. There are so many nuances in different situations that I always think it's just so nice to get a third party perspective sometimes, and it can be a breath of fucking fresh air and help you not feel so psycho and insane. So I'm going to leave this episode here, but I hope that it was really helpful for you guys. It was a little bit of everything. I had notes, but then I just was like, wasn't really feeling them. So I just started talking at the beginning and I feel like hopefully it went in the right direction. Olivia will tell me whether it was shit or not. But hopefully it wasn't because I don't want to have to re-record. Anyway, Embodiment at Dating number 2 is open right now. The Feminine CEO. Also, if you join before the end of the month, all the details are on the website. And we'll put them below as well. You will be able to join a bunch of new live modules, which is crazy because we already have like 80 something modules, new live modules. And that way, if you join live, you can ask a bunch of questions, make sure that everything is fully understood for like your particular business, blah, 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 the obvious benefits of being there live with me, and getting more of that kind of like intimate live Q&A, et cetera time. So embodiment of dating number 2 is open with 8 new modules, which makes it like a 20 module program plus 2 Q&As. And then we have the Feminine CEO as well. That is always open. But if you join before the end of the month, you get these extra benefits as well. If you guys have any questions, you know what to do. You know where to find me. I'm always here to help you, as is Olivia, because she is my customer service fucking angel. Seriously, she honestly writes responses and emails better than I do. So if you get an email from Olivia, I actually want you guys to know that most of the time they're influenced by me anyway, because I've obviously trained her up and she runs things by me. If she's not like 111% sure, but I'll see her email sometimes because I'm like CC'd in them. And I'm like, literally, you wrote the email better than I did. So no offense to like myself, but I feel like you actually want an email from Olivia. Seriously, because she has the time and she makes this whole setup. She sends me pictures like around Christmas. She had like the fire on and like Christmas vibes on the TV, and she'd have like warm tea and like cozy socks on her Christmas tree. And I'm like, this is the energy that you want in an email being sent to you. So anyway, she will respond to your emails, if not me. And yeah, I will see you guys in the next episode. I truly hope that this episode opened up your mind, gave you some nuggets and wisdom, and that you have a lovely rest of your day.